Hello, my name is Nika Alexander, and I am a communications officer with the World Health Organization. The interview you are about to hear was recorded for World Malaria Day, which is April 25th. It is part of an interview series featuring leaders and advocates in the global malaria response as they reflect on key moments in fighting this disease. Long-lasting insecticide-treated bed nets, rapid diagnostic testing, treatment therapies. None of these life-saving tools would have made it to market without the investment and engagement of the private sector and philanthropic foundations. It was through the wide-scale deployment of these and other tools that dramatic declines were achieved in the global malaria burden since the turn of the century. Bill Gates, co-chair of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, tells us why malaria is a top priority for the foundation and how the private sector and foundations like his have stepped forward to the public good. Welcome, Mr. Gates.
Great to talk to you.
So in 2007, the foundation announced that malaria eradication was one of its goals. You said you wanted to, quote, reach a day when no human being has malaria and no mosquito on earth is carrying it. Why did the foundation decide to make that decision?
Well, malaria is, of course, a horrific disease, and it's one of the big killers of children. And it's really holding Africa back because the health toll and economic costs are incredibly large. And so when we picked health, particularly child health, as our priority, we knew we had to get engaged with malaria. And so starting in the year 2000, it was a priority for us. Of course, Global Fund came together a few years later. And then at this meeting that the Director General, Margaret Chan, was one of the people there, we articulated the idea that if we orchestrated enough innovation, we should be able to shrink the malaria map and eventually bring it to an end.
And how well do you feel we're all doing, WHO and you and the world in general, in reaching this goal 11 years on?
Well, one of the key metrics, probably the most important metric, is cutting down the number of deaths due to malaria. And so if you take the last decade, we've done very well. But as usual with malaria, if you stand still, both the mosquito and the parasite itself evolve around your tools. The insecticides for both the bed nets and the brain in the case of the mosquitoes, and the drugs in the case of the parasite itself. And so the last few years, we have seen an increase in cases, which means we've got to get this pipeline of new tools actually out there and deployed.
So the tools are one side, but there's also the political stumbling block. So we absolutely need to invest in the research and development, move ahead that way. But one of the other challenges has been a plateauing in investment.
We'll do our best to get increased investment, but it won't be a dramatic increase. And so we have to take the dollars we have and gather data about where we can have the highest impact. You know, the donor countries have been generous, and it's great the UK renewed its commitment. Our foundation committed additional $1 billion to the fight. You know, this is something that we're getting smarter all the time, and it's great that the donors stayed with this fight, particularly the Global Fund, who has been the biggest buyer of the bed nets and the sprain ingredients.
What arguments do you use when you're trying to convince others to get on board, whether it's a funder or whether it's a politician or a country that you're speaking with? How do you convince them that this is a fight that will give them returns on their investment?
Well, if they had malaria in their country, you saw your neighbors suffering from it, the response would be quite phenomenal. Here, the challenge is that most people don't get to go to Africa and see what it's like in DRC or Nigeria, or the regions that still have extreme numbers of cases. You know, using the latest communications tools to show them what that burden looks like, explaining how we're driving the price of all the tools down and getting smarter about getting them to the right places. They should share in this excitement. The deaths are down very dramatically, and we're adopting at this summit a very aggressive goal that if all the partners come together, we should be able to cut the cases in half again.
You mentioned data and the importance of data. We're doing a series of interviews, and we've spoken with people who work really directly with data, which helps you map out where your problems are, which helps you direct your energy. So that's important. But what are some of the other technical tools on hand, vaccines and advances in vaccines and bed nets? What are those tools that we see in the pipeline that you are investing in and that you think will be useful?
Well, the three key tools right now are insecticide we use for the spraying, indoor spraying, and there's a good pipeline there. Liverpool IBCC working with the chemical companies. Of course, the insecticide we use on the nets themselves, and so I'll actually be showing this new Interceptor G2 net, which is a nice advance with two insecticides on a single net. And then there's the drugs. We're refining which artemisinin combinations are most effective. There's been good progress there. And there's some new drugs in the pipeline for Vibax. GSK is very close to getting tofaniquin out and available. And so that's going to be a great tool. Then we have a new generation of diagnostics that are somewhat more sensitive. We've got the idea of a second generation vaccine that would have enough duration to be a very powerful tool. And finally, there's work in the laboratory on mosquito genetics and how using CRISPR-related tools, we might be able to at least temporarily cut mosquito populations, which would help us a lot to clear areas and reduce the malaria map.
Out of all these topics, do you get most excited about? Which one are you really interested right now?
Well, the foundation is a big funder in the R&D space, actually the single biggest funder. And so, you know, we have product development groups like MMB for the drugs, MBI for the vaccines. So I think they're all very critical. I also like the modeling work we're doing that helps us understand which tools are most important in which areas. Like if you have indoor biting, then the nets and the spraying are super effective. If it's more outdoor biting, then things like these attractive sugar bait traps that are coming along may be the most important tool. So the gene drive is kind of the new kid on the block. It's not fully figured out exactly what the profile looked like and what the regulatory pathway is. So we're not counting on that, particularly as we move into the toughest areas where the biting rates are very high. It's clear that would make a huge difference if we could get it.
It's interesting because it sounds like there's the high-tech tools and the low-tech tools. I mean, you may have data that shows you the need for using two insecticides in your bed nets, but in the end, you're still talking about bed nets. You're still talking about parents making sure that they have a bed net and that their whole family is sleeping under them. Tell me a little bit about that side, about the work in communities and what can be done in communities to make sure those tools are being used better.
Well, you're absolutely right that the on-the-ground coverage level is key to this. You know, even things like case tracking, where you get the cases reported and then you're able to go to the family and neighbors of those people and try to make sure that it's not spreading further. The message on bed nets, when we first bring them out, you know, we get good compliance, but then over time, when we're not keeping that message fresh, we see not only people stop using them, but eventually they deteriorate physically. And we're going, really looking at that durability issue. We're looking at which community groups are trusted to get the message out. We have the African leaders coming together under this ALMA group, and they understand how to activate those local communities. And so we need them, and that's been critical.
With that, we thank Mr. Gates for his time and energy invested in the fight against malaria. To learn more about WHO's work in the fight, go to who.int.